right, welcome to the Outpouring Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Restad, and I'm here with Pastor Jermaine. How are we doing, Pastor Jermaine?
What's going on, Bishop? How you doing?
I'm glad to be back. Doing good. Thank you for bringing up Bishop. I keep forgetting, so I guess I'm now Bishop Matthew Restad.
Yes.
You got that. When we intro'd each other the other day, you just called me Bishop. So.
Yes, I was going to call you a different title, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just stopped me, and he said Bishop, and I said, Bishop. Oh, okay. I never had to call nobody no bishop. You big time now.
Hey, I guess so. I'll take it. I'll take it where I can get it. So
right.
Appreciate that, Holy Spirit. So, and by the way, if you guys are watching this live, I have a sweatshirt on that says not saved to sit. I know I am sitting, so this is a little bit awkward right now.
Yeah, that is a little awkward. You sitting now.
Yeah, I didn't really think that through when I put this sweatshirt on. I like this sweatshirt, so I decided to do it, not knowing, you know, obviously we were going to be sitting for this podcast, so that doesn't look very good. I think it's more, you know, what's the phrase? Do what we say, not what we do. So that's what we're going to advise people watching today.
Uh-huh.
If you're listening, just don't worry that we're mentioning this right now, but you are not saved to sit. Even though I'm sitting right now. So, all right, cool. Well, we're excited for this podcast, guys. This is all going to be about not being a slave to sin. And so just to start this off and kick it off, Pastor Jermaine.
Before you start off, you know, I like, you know, the shirt, you know, not saved to sit. I want to just give a little information on the shirt.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Because if anybody can see it, they have a man that's just sitting down and he's falling apart, just sitting down. He's sitting down, we'll say, in the church, but he's not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
And he is coming apart. You know, that's how some Christians is in the church right now. They just sitting there. They're not being used. They're not being, the gifts not being used. Their calling is not being fulfilled, and it's coming apart. So you're not saved to sit. You're called to do something. Everyone has something to do for the body of Christ.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember when you talked to me about this idea before it even got on the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right now, you said that, and I could relate to that in my past of where I was involved in church, but not doing anything as far as like activating, you know, we talk about getting the word in you.
Yeah.
I wasn't activating it yet. And so I related to that so much. It's like, it's so easy to just drift. It's so easy to just sit on all the gifts that God has on the inside of you. So yeah, this is not necessarily on topic, but very on topic. We want to encourage anybody listening right now, anybody watching, that if you you all have gifts stirred up on the inside of you, and we just want to encourage you to start activating that faith, because that's very important. You have something to add. You have value to add, and we just want to encourage you, and hopefully the things we talk about.
If anybody's not being used at their ministry, they're always welcome to come to Outpouring. We can use you. Trust and believe. There's a lot of work to be done out here in the kingdom, for the kingdom. So hey, Outpouring.org. Let's go.
Shameless plug right there. For sure. Well, awesome. So as far as, you know, not being a slave to sin and getting on that topic, what would you say, like when people talk about being enslaved to sin and wondering what does that even mean? Can you break down that?
Well, it's different than a person that's enslaved to sin and a person that's sinned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enslavery means that you are in bondage to it, that you cannot stop, or something is behind it that's forcing you or is telling you to do certain things, and you are listening to it and you are bondage. So that's the difference between being enslaved to sin. Apostle Paul, you know, he had to deal with the church that was they was free, but then yet they was acting like they was not free, and they were still doing sinful things. He said, "Know you not that you are not up under the bondage of sin, up under the authority of sin anymore, and that you are free from sin."
Mm-hmm. Why do you think, diving into that a little deeper, why do you think as Christians we allow sin to take us so far off track? I know I've been there, and when I became a Christian and then I sinned, I'm like, oh, it's, you know, God hates me right now. Like, I messed up, you know, and we take it so seriously.
Yeah.
And not that we want to sin, but at the same time, it happens. And so, like, talk to us a little bit about that. Why you think us as Christians, we allow it to, you know, hold us back so much?
Well, it all depends. I mean, like I said, there's two different types of ways that you look at it, because you have some people that sin and they actually make a mistake and they sin or whatever, and then they can go back and they repent of it. And then you have some people that's in continuous sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they continue to watch the porn. They continue to do certain things that they know that is sin, but they even feel bad about it. They even, you know, want to get out of this type of sin, but then yet they, for some reason or another, they cannot get out. Why? Because they're in bondage to it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is some people are in sin because of some fact is they ignorant to what's already been done for them. And so the devil always take advantage of our ignorance. That's why the Bible says he's the prince of darkness. Prince means the first. You know, but darkness means ignorance. He the first ignorant. He the first person of ignorance. but not even just that. But he also, just think about this. He's the prince of darkness. He's the first prince. And then darkness means ignorance. He also sits his throne on your ignorance. Mm. So he has control in the areas that you're ignorant to. So if you're ignorant to certain things in the word of God, that brings, because why? The word of God brings in light. It brings in freedom. It brings in liberty. And so when you're ignorant to those things, then he has a little bit more control in that area in your life.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody listening right now is kind of under that habit of sin that you were talking about, and like you mentioned, a lot of times it's not a matter of you wanting to sin and you're just excited to keep doing that. Usually it's sometimes more of a habit. And so what would you say to somebody that wants to break that habit of sin, but is just struggling to transition and to operate in full freedom that they have?
Now, some for instance, sins are, you know, is a habit, far as there's the demonic force behind it, you know, a demon behind it. And so sometimes you probably need deliverance. And sometimes it's just that you just need to discipline yourself, you know. Jesus said, you know what, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. You know, discipline yourself. Get whatever is in your reach to make you sin. If you're watching porn, throw away all the porns. Turn off your cable. Turn off whatever it is that you have access to go ahead and make you want to watch those things. That's if you're not in bondage. But if you're in a certain bondage that a demon is behind it, then of course you're gonna need deliverance, and then you're also still gonna need to discipline yourself.
And a lot of times when you go through deliverance and you get free, that's when the real battle begins, because you have to be disciplined to you're already free now. Now what are you gonna do with that freedom? Are you gonna maintain it? Are you gonna keep it? Or are you gonna go back to bondage? So if you know, for example, pornography is an issue for you, you may be tempted. The devil is going to come back. The enemy is going to come back and check on you a little bit. So if you are tempted and maybe it's late night, your phone's next to you, put your phone in the other room. Use an actual alarm clock for your alarm if you're worried about that. Know yourself well enough to know the triggers that trip you up and fight against that when you're free. You know? So I think that's good. Big. And then also I wanted to ask you, I think this is kind of a rhetorical question.
That was really good what you said. Who's mentoring you?
Man, you know, outpouring.org, you know, Pastor Jermaine, you know, Bishop. I think ever since they got the title Bishop, you know, the things have just
flowing, right? Praise God.
Yeah, so praise God. but also I want to ask you this rhetorical question, but since you've become a Christian, Pastor Jermaine, have you ever sinned?
Of course.
I mean, I haven't, but
oh man, no, that's probably why you call the bishop, right?
The next podcast is gonna be about humility, right there. So
right.
No, but have you ever sinned as a Christian?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, everybody sinned as a Christian. You know, if you say you have not sinned, it makes God a liar, and the word of God is not in you. So that's what Scripture says. So we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I mean, but the thing is, I don't stay in a place of sin. I don't stay in a place of allowing to have dominion over me. But if I make a mistake and I sin, and then the Bible also says that you have an advocate with the Father. You have Jesus, your advocate, so you can go to him and ask for forgiveness and bring you back into light and everything. The Bible says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's a continual cleansing. So basically, if you're falling out of a place that, you know what, you got into sin or whatever, get back into the light. Get back and get out of that dark place and get back to the light and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you again. He is so merciful and so loving, so kind and so caring. He knows, you know what, look, that you probably make a mistake. You're probably gonna do something that is not pleasing to God, but he always have his arms open up to bring you back. Don't allow condemnation to come up on you and set up on you. I remember one day, this was not sin, but however, I did not understand grace that much. I understand certain things, and I allowed in my my younger days, I allowed to be condemned because I wanted to walk perfect before God. And I used to, even when I didn't pray an hour, I used to condemn myself to a point that I had a spirit of condemnation, and I needed to get free from that. And then the Lord himself freed me from the spirit of condemnation. I remember I was in prayer and someone said had a word of knowledge, and they said, someone has condemnation or whatever. And I just knew it was me, and I just started weeping and crying, and I felt this hand come up on my back. And I thought it was somebody that's near me because I was in a church service, service at the time. And no one's around me. Was his hand was on my back, and when a hand lifted, something came out, and it was the hand of the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. The perfection that you I talked
try to,
about.
Yeah, I try to walk in perfection.
The perfection is it holds a lot of people back. Mm-hmm. I know it's held me back. Perfection is a way where progress is never going to happen because you have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And when you have that condemnation, and when you're not perfect, now you're holding yourself back. Yeah. And like you talked about, some people blame the enemy for too much. They give the enemy too much credit.
Right.
But when you're trying to be perfect, that gets you all off course because you mess up one time, now you're derailed. You don't know how to react to the sin that you just made. And I love what you talked about, and I want you to dive a little bit deeper into when you do sin, you started to know what to go to, how to react to that. Your reaction time is so key there. So can you just hit on, like, if somebody does sin or they mess up, like, how do you react, and how do you go to Jesus? Like, how does your relationship with Jesus, is it affected by that sin? Do you press in? Do you isolate? Like, what do you do?
A lot of people, you know, they say that you have to press in, you have to do different things. Me personally, if I mess up, I make a mistake, I go to an A. Father, I made a mistake. Forgive me. Okay, let's move on. Mm-hmm. Let's praise him. Let's worship. Let's go ahead and move on. It's a lot of work to do. I ain't got time to be. Yeah, I learned from condemning myself before, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I learned, like, look here. I don't have to do all that. I know the Lord is merciful. I know the Lord himself. I know that the only thing I need to do is get back in light. And his blood, the blood of Jesus, cleanses me from all sin. So I'm just in faith. I'm just stepping into the light. And stepping back into my fellowship, back into the place that he already originally designed for me to be at. And I get back out and back into him and just start walking as it never happened before. Mm-hmm. So I don't try to hold on to something like, no, he ain't holding on to it. Why should I hold on to it? Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't go back into it either.
Right. No, that's so good. I think you mentioned it earlier, but God gives us grace, but sometimes people can use that grace as a crutch.
Yeah.
And they lean on that grace in a negative way. So can you kind of speak to that versus allowing grace to, knowing that you have that freedom, but also...
Right. The problem is that, the grace is never meant to be a crutch. Mm-hmm. See, a crutch is meant to help you when you're in pain or something is broken or something is fractured, right? But grace is meant to keep you in freedom. So grace is never meant to be a crutch. Mm-hmm. Is when you start using grace as a crutch, then you're using grace for the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. It's meant to let you stay and walk in the liberty and the freedom of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that God has already done for you. And so it's nothing that it's not something that you pose a hold on to grace and it helps you to be as a crutch and help you. You know, no, you pose be free and walk freely. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, some people have the understanding of grace the wrong way. Grace is not grace is to heal the broken, not even just to heal the broken, but to walk in the freedom of your healing, walk in the freedom of all the things that Jesus Christ has already done for us. Mm-hmm. Walk in the freedom of your deliverance, your salvation. That's what grace for. Mm-hmm. Not for it to be, you know what, you are bound and you have to use a crutch to hold up yourself. And no, grace ain't used for a crutch.
Yeah, for sure. We were at Rise Up this weekend for our friend Matt Cruz. He had his Rise Up conference and he was talking about kind of a good analogy that can relate to this as far as like if you're driving on the interstate and you're speeding and all of a sudden to the right of you, you see a cop, you're in the presence of that cop. And so now you stop sinning, you stop speeding because you're in the presence of the cop. And so, but that cop goes off the road, they take the next exit, now you go straight back to speeding. When you're in the Lord's presence, you don't want, when you're in the light, you don't want to sin. You stop sinning and you don't want to sin anymore. No. The closer you are to the Lord, and that goes back to your relationship with Jesus, like the closer you are, the more pressed in you are. And when you're walking with him, you don't want to sin. You don't want to go back to that. And so, like you said, you're able to just respond, and grace is just a byproduct of that relationship. So,
You know, the Bible says you're not under the law, but up under grace. I mean, the law is did not empower us to change. You know, the law did not empower us to change. Grace empowered us to change. Grace is the influencer. So a lot of people think that grace is only, you know, all merit favor, which it is. It's a merit favor, but it's also the influence on your heart and reflection in life. The divine influence on your heart. I'm sorry. The divine influence on your heart and reflection on life. For instance, I give you an example. When you got saved, there was a divine influence in your heart. And it was so much divine and so much of an influence on your heart that other people seen it, that a reflection in life. The other people seen something change about Matt. For instance, when I got saved, you know, I stopped cursing. I ain't have it in my heart no more to curse. And I instantly stopped cursing. It wasn't something I did. It was something that was already done for me. It was something that was done not by my own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So grace is not by your own power. It's not something that the, because the law demanded us to change, but grace is a function of a change, but not by our own power.
No, that's so good. I've heard different people say, well, you don't know what I've done though. You don't know the type of sin that I've committed. I've gone too far. I've done the same thing over and over again. What would you say to somebody who thinks they've done something so bad and they're a slave to it. They can't move forward because they just think what I've done, nobody else understands that, you know? What would you say to somebody like that that's carrying that right now and thinks, well, Pastor Jermaine, you don't know what I've done though, and you don't know the types of sin I've committed in my life?
Well, you know, the thing is about people that they say, when they say that they don't take in consideration, they don't know what I done, what kind of sins that I did. So, cause we have a problem with the way we look at sin. We always measure sin by, you know, our own, intellect, our own intelligence on what sin is. You know, we say sin is worse than another, but do you know what Jesus has done? Let me tell you what Jesus has done. So I tell him, you know what? You don't know what I done, but I'm free. And the same Jesus that set me free can set you free. No, it don't matter. That's what grace is for. And let me tell you what Jesus has done. And let me tell you how powerful this blood is.
Please do.
Let me tell you how powerful this blood is. So I'll let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you good. Want me to let you know now or something?
I do want to hear it. I'm in.
No, yeah. That's too low. But I just separate podcast, that. Right? Yeah, that's a separate podcast. Number two on this take with Grace number two. But I let them know, when you first, you don't even know what I have done.
Right.
But you know that I'm free. How you know your sins is worse than mine? But regardless if your sins are worse than mine, if you believe that, let me tell you what somebody else had done for your sin.
So good. And sin is sin. You know, some, like you said, people compare different levels of sin, but the reality is, as much as we compare it, he's not comparing sin. Sin is sin to him. But the reality is, if you want freedom, freedom is there for you. Because Jesus died on the cross for every sin. He didn't say just for this batch of people that committed this type of sin, but this is unforgivable. He said, I came to set everybody free.
You know, it's crying crazy because I did come across that a little bit. And I remember telling this one person that, you know, I said, you heard of Apostle Paul? And of course, they probably, some people already heard him, but this particular person did. I asked him, have you killed a Christian? He's like, no, I haven't killed a Christian. I said, well, Apostle Paul killed Christians, and he still was saved. So what was sin that you did that is worse than Apostle Paul? Did you kill any Christian that or a family of God's children? Have you done that? No. But okay, tell me what you have done, but let me tell you what the blood can do. Yeah.
So good. So good. Yeah. I think, that puts it on a very high level at that point. If you're comparing sin, you know, go read about him.
Right.
It's like, did you operate like that? Probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in a good spot. Well, cool. As far as God's grace goes, understanding the importance of that in our lives, can you speak a little bit to God's grace and how important it is just for people to understand the grace that they have and the grace that God has for us?
Well, I mean, it's very important to understand it because, you know, without understanding the grace that he has for you, whatever, you can get yourself in bondage. And so we definitely need to understand that, you know what, look, he has grace for me to be saved. He got grace for me to be healed. He got grace for me to be delivered. He got grace for me to stay in this area of deliverance. He gives you, you can ask for grace. Mm-hmm. You can ask for grace for certain parts of your spiritual walk. You know, give me grace to understand your word better. Give me grace to pray. Give me grace to whatever it is you need grace for. It's a divine influence on your heart and a reflection in life. I mean, I remember when I can, you know, I was going to theology class, and my lowest grade in theology class was in prayer. I got a C, and everything else I got A's in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people know me for prayer, right? And it's funny, right. But I got a C in theology. What I did, I asked God, I say, Lord, I need grace for some prayer. I need to learn how to pray. Lord, give me grace. Teach me how to pray. The Holy Spirit is so kind, so loving. You ask for it. If you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, it shall be open. If you seek, you shall find. Ask for grace for the things that you are, even with the things, if you're struggling with certain things of sin, ask for grace for it. Say, Lord, I need grace to overcome. Mm-hmm. Not grace to, you know what, well, Lord, you know, I know that you forgive me. I know I keep on doing it. No, it ain't about you. You don't supposed to keep on doing it. It's not his will for you to keep on being in sin and thinking that grace is covering you. No, grace is to change you by divine influence, that he's doing it for you. Mm-hmm. That is not no one works. It's about him. Mm-hmm. When he died on the cross, it was about him, not about us trying to work into salvation. No, it was only by his grace that you are saved through faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to work for it.
You ain't got
to
work for it. It's grace.
He gave it to you.
Yeah. Just anything in grace is not a work. You're not working for it. It's something that divinely that he has done himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what everything, salvation, everything. If you looking to for like I said, for prayer, if you're looking for understanding the word more, ask for grace. Mm-hmm. Lord, I need more grace to understand your word. Mm-hmm. I can't understand some of this thing. Give me the grace to understand it like Bishop understands.
Come on now. Now we're just overusing the bishop. No, that's good though. Like you talked about, grace isn't just about sin and oh, am I forgiven? Like it's about if you need something, like you said, understanding the word more, mm-hmm. ask for it. And you had mentioned this in a previous podcast, and I just think that's so important for us to understand as Christians. Like he's there waiting for you to ask for it. If you need help, if you want to understand more, if you want more of his presence, if you want a better relationship with him, pursue and ask for it.
In fact, he desires it.
Yes.
He desires it. He's just waiting. He's desiring you to ask for more. He always wants you to want more. Matter of fact, as a Christian, you should always want more. Mm-hmm. There's no time, there's no place in your spiritual walk that you should not desire more. I don't care how far you got. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're elder. I just like to throw that out there. But, you know, you always want to have desire more. There's always more that he want to give you. Mm-hmm. He loves to give more. He loves to show himself in a different way to you.
Yeah.
And you always got to desire more. You always want to desire more. He said, if you thirst, you should be always thirsting. I'm always thirsting for things. You know, I'm always thirsting for the things of God. I'm always wanting more from God. And I'm not ashamed to tell you, Lord, I'm not ashamed to tell him, Lord, I want more. Mm-hmm. What else you want to show me about yourself? What else you want to show me in your word? What else you want to teach me? I want more.
Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. So good. I'm just chilling here. Just listening, soaking it in. One thing I was thinking about is a moment in my life where, you know, I was pressed into the Lord and had this just encounters, you know, he was giving me visions, he was giving me words, and just felt like our relationship was at the top of the top. And I remember asking him, I was like, Lord, can just always stay like this? Can mm-hmm. just always be like this? And I remember him just giving me that urge and that nudge of like, it's supposed to be like this. It can always stay like this.
Yeah.
And I know in my life, I've fallen back from that point at one point, and just like, sometimes it's not always on fire, but you can get right back to that point. And also think about what got you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. You are probably pursuing him in that hunger and that thirst that you're talking about. You are probably pursuing him like never before. And then the manifestation of that, of your relationship, was just on top of the world. Mm-hmm. Just like any relationship, if you don't engage, if you don't pursue a relationship, it's going to drift.
Right.
But when you, the great thing about our God, the great thing about Jesus is the fact that when you come to him, like you said, he's just waiting there. He desires that relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have to earn it again.
Right.
And you
That's
have
grace.
To press back in. That's where that grace comes
That's
in.
That grace come in.
And you can start right back and you can mm-hmm. have that fire. You can be on fire for the Lord. You can go after him with everything you have. It's just that hunger and that thirst that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So good. Well, awesome. You have anything else to add on this?
No, I mean, whenever you just, the only thing I could add is that whenever you feel, without the talk about the sin part of it, but mm-hmm. whenever you feel that you are in a certain place in your spiritual walk and you just feel dry, you feel down, you feel whatever, ask God for his grace. Mm. Yeah. Lord, give me grace to help me to get over this. Give me the grace to get over this. Give me the grace to overcome. Give me the grace to fight the faith. You can ask for grace for anything. I mean, that's what I think when most people have a problem with it. They don't understand about grace and they don't understand what his grace is for. You know, it's something that it's not something that you have to do. It's something that he would do for you. You just got to ask. It's something that he changes and something that he works out for you. It's not by you trying to fight and work it out yourself. It's more about him just saying, look, I can do it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Good. So good. Well, awesome. Hope everybody watching enjoyed this episode of the Outpouring Podcast. And we just want to encourage you guys. I know for the ones that can see this, like I said, do as we say, not as we do. But you are not saved to sit. And we just encourage you to embody that. And as far as the next episode, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving now. So we're just going to talk about what a life of gratitude and thankfulness looks like. And so I'm excited about, getting into that next podcast next time. Yeah. Maybe we'll have the fireplace on. Who knows?
It's, yeah.
getting, you know, it's fall weather now.
It's coming. So it's coming.
Yeah. I have to have it. Cool. Yeah, we'll appreciate everybody joining and, we'll see you next time. Thank you. Yeah.